News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Well, I hope you got the gist. I mean, how could you miss it? If you listened to my Right Side Way a few moments ago, it was more, it was a call to action. Thank you to my brother David there who just texted in and said, yep, call to action. And that's what it was. And so, folks, that's where we got to be, all right? I mean, we got to make sure that we're paying attention, that if we're not the candidate, that we're picking the candidate, we're supporting the candidate, and that we're going to the polls in record numbers, because conservatives, you'd better show up. You'd better show up. And you know what? We can't control what other states do, but we can control ours. We can have record turnout at the polls, and we can make sure that Alabama becomes an outpost for freedom. Speaking of an outpost for freedom, there are Americans right now, I'm changing the subject on you, but there are Americans right now trapped in Afghanistan. Why do I know this? I know it personally. I know it personally because over the weekend I was dealing with this. Even last night, as late as 11:30 at night, I am emailing to the Joint Operations Center for the Afghan Reliefs and basically getting no response. But I've got the images of five passports on my phone right now. It break my heart. It's a 29-year-old mother and her four children, who range in ages from 1 to 6. And they are stuck in Afghanistan right now with American passports. And they have been to the gate, the south gate at Hamid Karzai International Airport, and sat there for hours not being let in. They have been told they can go, and then when they go, the Taliban resist them going. They're threatened and harassed by the Taliban for trying to go. The husband is in San Diego right now beside himself, while the wife who took the children to see their grandparents in Afghanistan and got stuck there can't get back. And they're sitting there with American passports at the gate, and that's happening as we speak, and yet tomorrow the Biden administration is going to pull out. And people like that, with U.S. passports, I'm not even talking right now about our friends and our allies who stood with us. Hey, Copper, I'll tell you what, let's play a clip. Let's back me up on this. Play clip 10 for us real quick. If you got clip 10, go ahead and play it.
Gate, and here's the deal. There are hundreds of American citizens right now who are not able to get in. Yesterday, there was a bus of up to 50 American citizens with many small children within sight of the gate. The Taliban were not only not letting them in, they were firing over their heads, firing around the bus with these little kids on there. Imagine sitting on that bus with your kids, enduring that for hours at a time, never got in. This is happening all over the city. We're going to have American citizens and Afghan allies behind enemy lines within a few hours.
Folks, that was a retired Green Beret named Scott Mann. And I'm going to talk more about some of these guys, these special operators who are in the thick, still doing everything they can for the people they served alongside of and for American citizens in a private capacity. It's amazing to me what's actually happening out there. And this is going on even as we speak. But what you just heard, to get back to my original point in this, though, was he confirmed exactly what I was dealing with over the weekend. Because as I got those particular passports, I was forwarding them to our senator's office, who was forwarding them immediately to the Department of State. And then the people were confirming on the ground they were not getting calls from the Department of State to say, here's how we can get you out. Now, I want to thank Senator Tuberville's office, who has been responsive to me even late at night on weekends. But Department of State under the Biden administration is supposed to be handling this, and what they're doing right now, we understand, is pulling out. And that, to me, is unconscionable. Because if you could see the pictures of these passports of little bitty, you know, American citizen children who may have dual citizenship, I take it back. The kids were born in America, but the wife has dual citizenship. And the husband is back here wondering how he's ever going to get his family out. Now, I don't know what their thinking was about her going back to visit and all that kind of stuff, but apparently she got back there and then got stuck. But folks, they have American passports, much like many on that bus that Scott Mann, the retired Green Beret, spoke about. And this is unconscionable that we're going to consider leaving Americans behind enemy lines knowingly. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We got plenty more where that came from. I'm gonna be laying some stuff out for you that, like I said earlier, will curl your hair. And elections have consequences, don't they? Hey, but no mean tweets. We'll be right back after this. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the powerhouse news talk channel of North Alabama, and the biggest show in the afternoons in North Alabama is this one, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey folks, I'm glad you're with us. It's a full day. Of course, when is it not lately? I mean, it seems like there's no day. If you saw the amount of paper I've got here, I mean, I'm just sitting here, copper, I'm swimming in paper right now. But literally, if you saw the amount I've got, it would be a clear indication of how much is in the news. I mean, wow. And I try to divide my stacks up between state and local and federal and man, but it just never seems to slow down. But folks, I got to tell you right now, there's a lot happening in the Afghanistan crisis, and make no mistake, it's a crisis. And more than anything, I think it's a crisis of leadership. It's an absolute crisis of leadership. And what you heard a minute ago before the break was a sound clip from a guy named Scott Mann. And so Scott Mann is a retired Green Beret who's been working with a group that call themselves the Pineapple Express, and they've been actively engaging all of their old former contacts, talking to their people. And they've been doing it on a broader scale what I've been able to do over the past few days, past couple of weeks, really. I mean, my interpreter, Hamid, who's been on the show with us twice, still has family that are approved for P1 status for exfil from Afghanistan, have yet to even have gotten a call. Not even a call. I mean, he's got, and by the way, the young mother with the children that I talked about before the break, that's his cousin. And his, you know, her children who are stuck there right now. I have pictures of their passports on my phone. They've all been forwarded to the Department of State. But what you saw there with Scott Mann is also something that I've been interacting with, because there are former special operators and others who are doing what they can in a private sector way right now. And they've been going at it. And I'm going to tell you right now, they've been making things happen. And yet we're hearing that the Biden administration has been standing in their way at every turn, not approving them for flight time, not allowing them the opportunity to do what they do, resisting their calls for assistance. And I'm sure to some degree it's a difficult situation in a military operation to have civilians, regardless of their military past, to jump in and start doing things. But when you're doing it in a feckless manner at what is still called a civilian airport, then guess what? You're going to wind up getting NGO assistance. That's non-governmental organizations assistance. And so this group, the Pineapple Express and others, I mean, there's an organization right now that I'm aware of, that Charlene and I are supportive of, that has been providing this assistance. It is, you know, the Special Operations Association. And just this past weekend, I'm texting back and forth with a guy who spent the last 10 days on the ground over there with the assistance of the Special Operations Association. A good dude who went and did good dude things, if you know what I mean, and spent time on the ground doing everything he could to bring people out, because he said he couldn't sit home and watch that on TV. And I totally get it. And so, folks, it is people like that that are doing hard things in hard places that are part of what makes us the United States. And they, to me, are the indication that we are not done. We are not done. We are not going to sit idly by and watch this feckless Biden administration do what it does or doesn't do and just say, well, that's us now. That's just the way we are. You know, there's no mean tweets, but it's okay. We're not that way. We are a nation full of people that will support and do those things that are worth supporting and doing, like these guys from the Pineapple Express and the Special Operations Association. I'm just telling you. And they need your support. If you find a way to support them, please do. If you find a way to support their causes, especially in the days to come when the rest of our U.S. troops decide to pull out, the only resources that will be available, we understand, will be those private entities that are still willing to go on the ground and get people out. And there's some great stories in history. I hope y'all remember there was a mission by Ross Perot back in the day when Tehran fell and when the Shah was deposed. Ross Perot realized he had a bunch of his employees who were in Tehran who were trapped and they couldn't get out. And so he actually hired a guy named Bull Simons, who was a legendary Green Beret from the Vietnam era. I mean, legendary. Like, there's a statue of Bull Simons at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And he hired Bull Simons, a former Santé Raider, which if you've known anything about special operations, you should be sitting up in your chair pretty straight right now when I say that. But Bull Simons put together a mission and went in and got Ross Perot's people out because the U.S. government under the Carter administration wouldn't do it. And I think we're going to see more of that kind of thing happening in days to come. You're going to find out about airfields in the middle of nowhere where a plane lands in the dark of night and picks up 10 Americans and brings them home. You're going to find that kind of stuff out. I guarantee you it's going to happen. It's happening now. But folks, everything that we've been dealing with over there has been what I would call self-imposed. Tomorrow's the 31st. That's when Biden says he's pulling out. Who imposed the 31st on us? We did. Who said you can't stay any longer to get your people out? We did. I tell you what, Copper, let's go ahead and queue up clip 5. So clip 5 is Congressman Dan Crenshaw. I like Dan Crenshaw. I mean, he's a one-eyed frog man. I like that guy. And he comes out and he says it straight. And he says right now the administration is lying about the realities of what's on the ground and that every one of our limitations have been self-imposed, like I just said. Go ahead and play clip 5.
Line. Tell the Taliban to kick rocks. We're the United States of America. We extend the deadline. We're going to keep our people in place. In fact, my opinion is we need to retake places like Bagram and additional airfields to give our citizens and our allies more options to get out. The Secretary of State in particular has been lying about the realities on the ground. Jen Psaki has been lying about the realities on the ground. Joe Biden's been lying about the realities on the ground. There is no possibility of getting people out safely if we remove our leverage, which is our troop presence. That's the only language these people understand. They do not care about diplomacy. They don't care about hurt feelings. They don't care about their international standing. This is the Taliban we're talking about. I don't know what dream world these people in the administration are living in, but it's not real. The only language they understand is power. And we have a lot of it if we're willing to use it. Every problem we've had has been self-imposed. Every restriction has been self-imposed. It's unbelievably frustrating, and we're going to end up leaving people behind. And, you know, your first question, what's our mission? I never heard Joe Biden say the mission was to get our allies and our citizens out of Afghanistan. It was just troops. It was just bring troops down to zero because it makes us feel good. But that there was never the mission to help these other people, and it's a
There you go. There you go. And he's right. And if you think back about it, when it all kicked in, I mean, the time when they began talking about getting Americans out was after they realized a crisis had unfolded. Yeah. After they realized that it was, oh my gosh, what have we done? Holy cow. Oh, there's Americans there. Now what? Our mission will be to get those Americans out. But going into it, what did they say? We will get all the troops out. That was it. That was the plan. Get all the troops out. Well, they did, and that was backwards. And listen, the reality is that the Taliban and this ISIS-K element, the fact that the Biden administration wants you desperately to believe that ISIS-K is the bad guy and the Taliban are now the good guys. What? Let's just go ahead and be clear. That is not the case. I've quoted the book once before. It's called The Warrior Ethos by Stephen Pressfield. He's the guy that wrote Gates of Fire. He's written several other really good books. And this morning I was double-checking something that I thought I remembered. And he's got a section here where he talks about tribes and gangs and terrorists. And he says this. I'm quoting here. He says, tribes are patient. Time means nothing in the tribal scheme. Tribes will wait out an invading enemy till he gets tired and goes home. Here's the quote. You got the watches, says the Taliban. We've got the time. You see, tribes are tied to the land and draw strength from the land. Tribes fight at their best in defense of their home soil. And then here's another key piece to my point. Tribes are adaptable. They will take on any shape or coloration temporarily if it will help them survive in the long run. Tribes will ally with enemy tribes to repel the greater threat of an invader and then go back to killing one another once the invader has been driven out. Do you hear what I'm saying? The very idea. I tell you what, Copper, go ahead and get clip four ready and see if we have time for it. But tribes, in his words, in Pressfield's words, and this was published in 2011, by the way, 10 years before the Biden administration took office, they will do what they have to do while the so-called invader or the infidel is present. They will do what they have to do, even if it means allying with each other in order to get rid of what they consider to be the bad guy, the ultimate bad guy, which in this case is the United States. Another book I read, and I tell you what, Copper, you hold that clip. We're probably going to get to it right after the break, but don't go to the break yet. But then the bottom line is there's another book that I read years ago, all right? And this one came out, oh, gosh, I remember how long it went out. I mean, back before the Afghan war really kicked off, but when we could tell it was about to, I immediately ordered whatever I could find. And a book I got was called Jihad, The Secret War in Afghanistan, by a former British special operator named Tom Carew. And Tom Carew wound up being one of the guys who, during the time when the Soviets were occupying Afghanistan, he went in country on solo missions over and over and over again to help the resistance fight the Soviets. And one of the things he said was what was so frustrating was that eventually they realized that some of the ones they were backing were what he called the wrong horse. He said the rank-and-file fighters were fine, but the leadership, it became clear, was more interested in jockeying for power and making money from drug sales than in fighting the Russians. Yeah, there you go. And I'm going to tell you right now, that book was published many years before the Biden administration. If these two books, can be out there in print for decades before the Biden administration, what do you think our intelligence assessments really had to say? Well, I guarantee you they didn't say, yeah, don't worry about Taliban. I mean, ISIS K is who you got to worry about, right? Them's the guys. Those are the bad guys. Well, in a minute, I'm going to play some more of what I would call affirming comments from people that I admire greatly, who I think will confirm exactly what I'm saying. ISIS K and Taliban, they're both the bad guys, folks. And right now, allegedly, we're trusting them. And right now, reality, they're not letting Americans with valid passports through the gates to get to the flights out of the country. And they're doing it intentionally. They know exactly what they're doing. And we're sitting idly by and letting the mainstream media talk about what a great humanitarian airlift this is. Well, by God, it's not a humanitarian airlift as much as it is a retreat. A retreat. Nothing but elbows and shoe soles moving out in the distance because we're running from the Taliban and ISIS-K on self-imposed deadlines. Well, folks, we're going to a short break. And as we go to this break, I'll just come back and tell you in a minute. We're going to continue some of this vein, and then I'll get into some other topics because, God almighty, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm going to try to get to a point where I cheer you up with something. Like, I don't know, what does one of my favorite guitarists have to say about COVID restrictions? That's going to be funny. Total change of subject. Folks, listen. Lots more where that came from. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Take heart. We are still out there. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. And hey, by the way, if you're driving around and find yourself leaving the otherwise very broad range of WVNN on AM or FM capabilities, just know that you can follow us anywhere. Go to rightsideradio.org and click Listen Live, and wherever you is, there you is. So I'm just telling you, we can go with you wherever you are, folks. We got people listening in multiple states right now, and I'm amazed, by the way, Copper, the downloads on the segments of the show that are done as podcasts on the Right Side Radio website.
Yeah,
we're at 3,800 now. I mean, it's just like it's cruising, it's exponential. Hang on, I'm going to go to it right now. and just see if I got that right. Was it 3,700, 3,800? Hang on a second. I'm going to get there. It is, I misquoted altogether. It's 3,400, almost 3,500. But still, nonetheless, it is still exponential by comparison to our first month. So, yeah, still good doings. Hey, Copper, was it clip four that I said? Is that what I said a minute ago?
I believe so.
I think it was, yeah. So let's do this. I was saying before the break a minute ago that there's this weird thing out there that the Biden administration wants you desperately to believe that ISIS-K is responsible for all the bad things happening. All the bad things are ISIS-K. The Taliban, we're coordinating with them. The Taliban and ISIS-K are enemies of each other. And then I read you some quotes from people who have been writing about this in open source for years, who will tell you that in that part of the world, they will combine their forces to get rid of the infidel whenever they need to. It's the way they work. They'll go back to fighting each other later. Right now, we're the infidel. Hey, go ahead and play clip four, Copper. Mark Levin here, to clip four.
Now we have another line out there. ISIS and the Taliban don't get along. ISIS and the Taliban don't get along? Gee, I kind of remember a week or two ago when the Taliban took over the country. They took over the Bagram Air Base. What did they do? What's one of the first things they did? They emptied their damn prison of 5,000 prisoners, and those prisoners included what? Not just Al-Qaeda, but ISIS fighters. And so now we're supposed to believe that the Taliban's the good guy and ISIS is the bad guy. They're all cockroaches that want to kill as many Americans as possible. And now look at the situation. We have a propaganda media in this country.
Oh, there you go. That was a good stopping point. I think I may have run that segment a tad longer than I meant to. But yes, the reality is what he's saying, and I love the fact they're all cockroaches. But he's got it nailed. I mean, what a great analysis. If you look at it, one of the very first things that happened was when we vacated Bagram Airfield in the dark of night and turned off the lights. Literally, that's what they say. We literally turned off the lights, like shut the power source off, surprised the Afghan troops that were there, you know, as part of the security force, and then just got on the last plane out of Bagram and left. Well, guess what? One of the biggest prisons, and it was a high security prison with thousands of inmates in it, of people taken off the battlefields, was right there at Bagram. And in that prison, any number of ISIS fighters. Did the Taliban go in and go, who are you? Are you ISIS or Taliban? ISIS or Taliban? No. They went in and said, all right, all the income free. And they let everybody out, which clearly indicates they weren't too worried about it. They weren't saying, oh, wait, you're our enemy. We don't like you. We don't get along with your tribalism. They let them all go. The idea that they're going to say now that Taliban are the good guys and we can coordinate with them and trust them for security at our airports, I'm telling you firsthand, I am talking to people who are talking to people on the ground, who are sending me their pictures. We have video right now that literally is showing, and you can find it on news sources. Go look at it. Buses stopped by the Taliban, full of Americans, not being allowed to the gate. ISIS and Taliban do not believe that narrative. They are joined at the hip right now because their only mission in life is to make it look like they jointly ran off the great infidel, to jointly make it look like they ran off the invader. And that's us. And we're letting them do it. Or the Biden administration's letting them do it. Well, folks, when we get back, I'm gonna kind of wind this down, but I want to talk about the impact on the human toll, if you will. Specifically, what's it going to be like for women? Because what I'm not hearing right now, what I'm not hearing is anything coming out of the hashtag MeToo groups. Nothing out of women's rights. Nothing out of AOC and her squad. Nothing is being said about the toll on women under the Taliban. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and live online at rightsideradio.org. We'll be right back after this break.